Hey, welcome to the Everyday Immunity Podcast, a place where we talk about different ways to boost the immune system naturally each and every day. I'm your host, Alicia Rosati of Rosati Nutrition. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. So today's episode is going to be a little bit different. I'm not going to come at you with as much science. Still going to be bringing some really important information though. So if you need a little bit of some motivation, some encouragement, just a little pick-me-up, this episode is definitely for you and I encourage you to keep listening. If you guys follow me on Instagram, which you definitely should, at Rosati Nutrition, you will know that I recently dyed my hair pink out of pure impulse and boredom. I don't know, I guess quarantine just finally got to me. But yeah, I just wanted to do something fun, do something a little different, and I figured if not now, then when? You know, might as well do it now. And so I had cut my hair, my own hair, a few weeks ago. The week prior. Yeah, it was the week prior. And I don't know if you guys know who Brad Mondo is. I'm obsessed with him. I love him. If you don't know who he is, go check him out on YouTube. He is like amazing. I love him so much. And he taught us on YouTube how to cut your own hair at home. And I followed the Brad Mondo method and honestly, it turned out quite well. So 10 out of 10 would recommend. But yeah, so I had cut my own hair and I loved it. It's kind of a little bit more blunt, a little shorter, but it just wasn't enough. So I dyed my roots because they were showing and, you know, just tried to get it back to that blonde. And it wasn't, like, I didn't love it and I was just bored with it. So I was like, you know what? Screw it. Like, we're going to dye my hair pink. I had some old manic panic in my closet from, like, high school or, no, from university. And I had just done like my tips back then to get back at an ex-boyfriend and I had it. So I was like, you know what? We're going to use it. This is going to be fun. And the whole point of this message is, as anecdotal as it is to just do it. Honestly, like what's really holding you back? If it's something like your parents are going to kill you or kick you out of the house, I mean, maybe then don't do it. But if it's something like that, like coloring your hair, something that's not going to hurt anybody else or hurt yourself, go for it. Like, what are you waiting for? I know for me, that was a really big thing. I was always worried about what are other people going to think? Am I going to hate it later on? How's it going to look? Or how am I going to be good at this? Or, you know, like just so many thoughts run through your head. But I've come to realize that you really just need to do it. Just dive in, just do it. You may hate it, and then you fix it later on. Or you may regret something. Okay, do something to fix it. You may find out that you tried a new project and you absolutely suck at it. And that's okay. That is totally, totally okay. But the fact is that you did it. You don't want to go, you know, living your whole life scared to do things. And then when it's your last leg, you realize like, wow, I wish I had done this when I was 24 years old. Or I wish I had done this when I was 30, 45, you know? And that's the thing, like, we're young now, at least I am, and I'm trying to take advantage of my 20s before I get married and before I start having kids. You know, I want to do as much as possible that is really going to only impact me and my relationship right now. It's not like I have kids to worry about and kids' mouths to feed, right? So just, I mean, go for it. Take advantage of your 20s, 1000% set up for your future. But have a little fun while you're doing that. There's no harm in that whatsoever. And I promise you, once you start to let go of the fear and the overthinking and what are other people going to say, you just become a lot happier. At least I found that. Because when you worry about what other people say or think or if you're good enough, how good you're going to be at something, it takes up a lot of your mind space. And it can be really tiring, you know, to always have these thoughts and emotions running through your head, like, am I good enough? Is this enough? Whatever it may be. But once you release all of that, it's honestly like a weight has been lifted off your shoulders. So I encourage you, if there is something that you have wanted to try, have wanted to start implementing, you have wanted to do, you wanted to post, do it. If you were looking for a message that just told you, oh, well, if this happens, you know, maybe I'll do it, or I'm not 100% sure yet, this is that message. Do it. And if you fail, that is okay. But a lot of people don't realize that your mental health actually has a huge connection with your physical health. So in holistic health and holistic medicine, the field that I'm in, we look at the whole body as a whole, right? So if you have digestive issues, it may not necessarily just be your stomach that has a problem or your gut. It could be a mental thing going on that's affecting your gut. There's so many different ways that the body is interconnected. And it's true, you know, in conventional medicine, a lot of times, a lot of doctors just compartmentalize. And that's at no fault of their own, you know, like that's how they're trained, that's the way that their medicine works. And sometimes it's useful. But I personally believe in the whole body being one and everything being interconnected. Your thoughts affect your muscle soreness, your gut efficiency, you know, like your whole body works together as one. And oftentimes people, you know, let's take weight loss as an example. People say, oh, well, I want to lose weight. Why can't I lose weight? You know, I'm just going to work out like crazy, or I'm just going to not eat, or whatever it may be. And they still don't lose weight. Why is that? Because their mental state is not up to par at the moment. Stress, a lot of that is, you know, mental stress and emotional stress. That has an effect on how well you can burn fat and how you carry your weight. People don't remember that connection. I feel like people look at mental health as one thing, as like really just depression and anxiety, and they don't link that with other conditions that you may have or the way that your body works all as one. And I really think that's kind of sad, you know, because like I said, like, yes, your brain controls everything, like your physical movements and your thoughts and whatnot. But how do those thoughts that your brain create have an effect on the rest of your body and how it works? So number one thing you have to do is change your mindset. I encourage you, change your mindset. There was even a study or an article published on Science Daily, and it comes from the University of California, San Diego. So researchers looked at some seniors living in like a long-term care home and looked at all different factors and how it related to their health. So they looked at things like wisdom, loneliness, income, and sleep quality, and how that impacted their physical and mental functioning. And there was a quote in the article that really stuck out to me, and I just kind of want to break it apart a little bit for you guys. So it says, cognitive function was significantly associated with physical mobility, wisdom, and satisfaction with life. So cognitive function is like how well you can understand things, you know, like for example, people with Alzheimer's or dementia don't have as well cognitive function because they have those diseases, right? So cognitive function is just like, can you understand what I'm saying? Can you still think clearly? Is your memory there? That kind of thing. So good cognitive health was associated with physical mobility, so keeping active and how well you can move your body, wisdom, 1000%, which is why education is super, super important, and satisfaction with life. So how satisfied are you? Are you always looking for the next best thing? Are you always looking at what's going wrong in life as opposed to what's going right? You know, just be satisfied with where you are in life. And apparently research shows that that's really good for cognitive ability. Now, for people like me who know that they have the Alzheimer's gene, you know, that's kind of important because I have an increased risk of developing Alzheimer's, which would mean my cognitive function decreases and declines. Obviously, I don't want that. So are there things that I can do now to preserve my cognitive function and reduce my risk of Alzheimer's as much as possible? And apparently there is. You know, keeping active and exercising, wisdom, always exercising your brain. There's physical exercise and there's mental exercise, and I think they're both equally as important. And then finally, satisfaction with life. So are you satisfied? You know, I always used to look for the next best thing, and I've come to realize now I need to be happy with where I'm at. I can still have my goals for the future, but I need to be happy with where I'm at. That just makes you a lot happier, and it also helps your mental well-being in total. Now, the next line says, physical health was associated with mental well-being, resilience, and younger age. So we all know, you know, as we age, your physical health declines because you're aging. Simple as that. Resilience, you know, how strong are you? How well do you fight off disease? But the final one is physical health was associated with mental well-being. So apparently there is an actual scientifically proven link between your physical health and your mental well-being. You know, so that just goes to show right there that there is a link between your brain and your body. They're not compartmentalized. They work together in tandem. So if you want to take care of your physical body, you need to take care of your mental well-being. If you want to take care of your mental well-being, you need to take care of your physical body, because science proves that there is a link between how well the two work and how well they work together. And the final sentence that I want to touch on says, mental health was linked to optimism, self-compassion, income, and lower levels of loneliness and sleep disturbances. But I really want to touch on optimism and self-compassion. I feel like we are so hard on ourselves, and in a way it's good, you know, push yourself, motivate yourself to be better, to do better, to achieve your goals, you know, smash all your dreams for sure. But a lot of times we're excessively hard on ourselves. We don't forgive ourselves for making mistakes or not being enough or not doing enough or trying our hardest, but just, you know, not achieving something. And I used to do that as well. It's really not good for your mental health to be so critical of yourself and just so hard on yourself and not as forgiving. You know, at the end of the day, you're just human. We're not perfect. As much as we try to be, we are not perfect. So, you know, just be a little bit more compassionate with yourself. Be friendlier to yourself. I feel like so many of us can be nicer to other people than we are to ourselves. And that's a shame. You should be nice to other people, don't get me wrong, but you gotta live with yourself for the rest of your life. You are the only person that you have to live with every single day for the rest of your life. All hours of the day, all minutes of the day, all seconds of the day. It's you. So if you're not friendly to yourself, how can you expect other people to be friendly to you? That's a big one. And the final thing is optimism, which was also linked to mental health. Being optimistic. I used to be so pessimistic and I was depressed. I had a really, really bad mental state. You know, I always used to look at the negative, and I know a lot of people do that as well. But rather than looking at everything that's going wrong, look at the things that are going right. And that will encourage you to keep going. That will push you and motivate you to keep going. You need to be your biggest motivator, your biggest cheerleader, your biggest support system. It's you. Like I said, you are the only person that you have to live with for your entire life. Every second, every minute, every hour of the day, it's you. So if you're not nice to yourself, if you're not optimistic with yourself, you are your own biggest downfall. Would you rather be your own biggest downfall or your own biggest support system that's going to push you in life? I think you should push yourself and motivate yourself, be kind to yourself, be there for yourself. You got this. If you're listening to this right now and you made it this far, that means that you want the best for yourself. So I applaud you on that. You can do anything that you put your mind to, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, whatever your goals are. If you put your mind to it, you can do it. And that's why your mind is everything. Mindset is everything. What does your mindset look like? Does your mindset look like what you want it to look like, or do you have room to improve? I think we all have room to improve, but if you can accept that and you know you have room to improve, you're already on the right track and you will do so many good things in your lifetime. But I'm not gonna lie, sometimes we do go through hardships and that can have a really big negative effect on our mental health, our mental clarity, and our mental state. And that's okay. You need to experience the ups and downs in life, you know, like the highs and lows. You need to experience that, because if you don't experience the lows, how can you appreciate the highs? And that's okay. It's all about knowing how to bounce back from it. You know, everything that goes down has to come up. Everything that goes up must come down. So It's how you come back from those negative dips is how well you are going to project forward in life. But sometimes it's hard to know what tools are best for us to use to push through a stressful situation or a hard situation and come through on top. And now this is going to look different for everybody for what works best for you, and that's totally okay. A lot of people like journaling their feelings, and you know that helps them get it all out and encourages themselves and motivates themselves to keep moving forward. For me, I hate journaling. I'm not a journaling person. I'll start for maybe 3 days and then I give up. But you know, that's okay. I know that it doesn't work for me, so I do other things. Some people are very disciplined and determined, and they know that if they just hammer it out in the gym or get in a good workout, then their mental state will improve and they'll feel a lot better. And if you know that that works for you, do it. Doesn't work for everybody, and that's okay. Some people need to go for a walk, get some fresh air. That's usually me. Once I go for a walk and I'm out in nature, oh, my mental state will go from like super, you know, down in the dumps and I hate life and, you know, nothing goes right for me. And I go on a quick 30-minute walk and I'm like, wow, you know, like I got this. Like this lesson taught me something and I needed to go through this to be a bigger, better person. Like I got this. I'll be okay. So I know that that works for me. Now, being in nature might actually be good for a lot more people. So if you don't already spend a lot of time out in nature, I seriously and highly encourage you to do so, because according to the science, that could be huge for helping your mental state. Again, on Science Daily, an article came from the University of East Anglia, which is in the UK, and they studied data from about 20 countries, including the UK, the US, Spain, France, Germany, Australia, and Japan. And they found that being out in green space, so in nature, whether it be a forest or whatever it may be, even if you just go outside for a walk and there's trees in your neighborhood, still considered green space, but being out in nature actually reduced your risk of stress and a bunch of other conditions like type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, premature death, all of that stuff. So if you can go outside for a quick walk, or you know, go sit underneath a tree, go sit in a park, listen to the birds chirp, something, and that's going to help your mental state, but it's also going to help your physical body, girl, do it. I mean, it's a free form of stress relief, a free form of healthcare, a free way to just take care of yourself, and it really doesn't require as much work as going to the gym and working out, which I still encourage you to do. But, you know, a less stressful and less taxing way of doing it. So, like I said again, if you have made it this far in this episode, I applaud you. I really encourage you to work on your mental space. People put so much pressure and emphasis on being physically healthy that they forget to be mentally healthy. And mental health is equally as important as physical health, and the two definitely do work together. Your mental state will, you know, it has an effect on how well the rest of your body works. So if you want your physical health to be up to par, I'm sorry, but you have to work on your mental health. So journal, go for a walk, go to the gym, whatever works best for you, do it, get your headspace right, and it'll get your body right. So yeah, that's my little rant and my little spiel for you guys. I seriously hope that you are all staying sane and happy and healthy during this quarantine. And you know, if you need to dye your hair pink to feel better about yourself, just do it. All right, guys, it's been a pleasure talking to you. This has been your host, Alicia Rosati of Rosati Nutrition, and I cannot wait to talk to you in the next episode.